Genesis chapter 12, if we would tonight. Thank you for the message in song, the 12th chapter in the first book of the Bible. Now, if you're having trouble finding Genesis, put your Bible down. Just listen. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram, 75 years old, when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Let the church say amen. Our Father, I pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Use the Bible not just to tell us what happened in the past, but to show us the God you are in the present. And help us to live according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We're dealing with the book of Genesis, the book of the beginnings. And we've learned a lot of things in the book of Genesis up to this point. I love how the Bible starts. In the beginning, God. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm glad that it all starts with God. And by the way, if it doesn't start with God, we're in trouble. We need God. And in these first 11 chapters of the Word of God, we've learned a lot. We've learned in this book of the beginnings that God is establishing some precedents for us. In the beginning, God. God does not start with the Bible, but the Bible does start with God. And God is trying to teach us some things about Him. By the way, if God was ever anything, He still is. Amen. I mean, if God was ever good, he's still good. God was ever gracious, he's still gracious. By the way, that's good news for you. Because we've learned, if all we had were 11 chapters in the Bible, Genesis 1 through 11, we've learned enough about God in 11 chapters to face every trial, every temptation, and every trouble that we face. The God of 11 chapters in the Word of God is good enough, great enough, gracious enough, and glorious enough to handle all our problems. I thank the Lord for it. These first 11 chapters, we've learned God is real, He's good, and there's nobody like Him. Somebody say amen. We've learned we live in God's creation. We've learned we've been made in God's image. We've learned it pays to obey God, and it pays when you don't. Amen. We've learned that the devil is real. Three chapters in, he shows up. If he showed up three chapters into the greatest book in all of the Bible, plan on him showing up at your house tonight. We've learned that he's a real enemy, but he's a defeated foe. Amen. We've learned that there's a such thing as sin. And if you don't know what sin is, my friend, you better wake up because you do it every day. We've learned that God has established marriage between male and female. I could borrow an amen there. that intimacy is God's gift to be used only within the confines of marriage. We've learned that all humans come from one blood. We're different races. We're different skin pigmentation. We're different cultures. But we all date back to Adam, and Adam dates back to God. We've learned that the nation of Israel was God's chosen people. We've learned that God is in control. We've learned that without faith you cannot please God. And we've learned that living for God is the only life worth living. 11 chapters in, we've learned that. It doesn't take long to learn a lot about God. And now after all of that, he begins a nation, a brand new beginning. He promised that he would be the God of Shem. He promised that through that nation, those of Canaan would serve Shem. You remember that? Ham's descendants would serve Shem. Now we're finding out that Shem's descendants, now we're getting introduced to one of his main descendants, and that's a man by the name of Abram. And God is leading Abram to the place where the descendants of Ham will serve the nation of Israel. So God is reaching down. Now wait a minute. God's thinking about something here. He's mindful of something here. I'm glad that unlike us, God never forgets. He never lose track. Have you ever finished the day and say, I forgot? You ever meant to call somebody, by the time you remembered, you couldn't reach him? You wanted to get a hold of a business, by the time you remembered, you knew it was closed? You wanted to pay a bill, by the time you remembered, the place you wanted to pay it, you couldn't get an answer? I'm glad that God never finishes a day and goes, oops, I meant to. I forgot to. I'm glad that every need I have, he meets without an alarm clock. Without a smartphone reminder, without a secretary, without a wife. The guy at 7-Eleven says, I don't have Google anymore. I have a wife. Anyway, but nonetheless, I'm glad that God doesn't need a wife to remind him he's on top of things. Genesis 3:15, he told the serpent, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. The seed of the woman is going to destroy you. That's a promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus is coming from Genesis 3:15, but God has to orchestrate the scene so that we get from Genesis to the manger to the cross. And he's in control. And Abram is the next step in God's process of fulfilling Genesis 3:15. Amen. Now we have the advantage that Abram didn't. We have a completed Bible. We already know God did it. Abraham had to obey God not knowing. So we're introduced to a man who's going to show us a new beginning by receiving a direct call from God. The Lord said, amen. Could I say to you, any new beginning in your life, you better make sure that it originates with the Lord said. Come on. Because there are a lot of Christian people that are pursuing new beginnings that God didn't commence. And I'm going to tell you something. Anything that God starts, you're going to have a hard time finishing. I mean, anything that God doesn't start, you're going to have a hard time finishing. Amen. Paul said to the church of Philippi, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. You cannot put confidence in yourself. Same Paul said to the same church, I put no confidence in the flesh, but I have total confidence in the fact that the God that began it is the God that will come. By the way, the work of salvation was begun with God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He came looking for you. He not only looked for you, he found you. He convicted you. He drew you. He regenerated you. He transformed you. He sealed you. He fills you. He heals you. He convicts you. He's coming back for you. Amen. Abram, you're going to have a beginning. But you better make sure God starts it. By the way, if you're in the middle of something, God didn't start, it ain't too late to quit. Amen. You say quitters never prosper. Well, starters never prosper if God didn't start them. And quitters do prosper if they quit something God didn't start. Write that down. Amen. Now there's a direct call. It begins with the glorious wonder. We don't see the wonder mentioned in Genesis, but Stephen tells us about it in Acts chapter 7. He says God in his glory showed up to Abram. Why? Because this was a big beginning. And to get Abraham going, God wanted to know, it's got to be me. God wanted him to know it's got to be me. So God showed up in his glory, according to Acts chapter 7, the glorious wonder of God, the gracious will of God. God's grace showed up to Abram. There was nothing great about Abram. He didn't find Abram in luster and prosperity. He found Abram in nothingness, wallowing around in anonymity in the Ur of the Chaldees. It was the gracious will of God that chose Abram. And by the way, it was the gracious will of God that chose you. There was nothing good about us for God to choose us, but there was a whole lot good about him. The given word, and the Lord said, the word was what drew Abram, and the word's what drew us. Sacrificial abandonment, sincere acknowledgement of God, the good work that God was going to take him to. That was a direct call. Last week we saw the direct call was preceded by a divine covenant. Abram, I'm calling you, but let me enter into an agreement with you. I'll make of thee a great nation. Somebody say amen. I'll give you an elevated promotion. I'm going to take you from a nobody to a somebody. Isn't that what happened when you got saved? Amen. You were a no name before you got saved. But after you got saved, you started bearing his name. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm somebody in Jesus. An elevated promotion. I'll give you experience prosperity. I will bless thee. Amen. I'll give you elite prominence. I will make thy name great and thou shalt be a blessing. You can't bless anybody unless you know the blesser. Amen. You're blessed to be a blessing. I'll give you effective preservation. How? I'm going to take care of you. Everybody blesses you, I'll bless them. Everybody curses you, I'll curse them. I'm going to give you preservation. I'll give you an exclusive purpose. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In one man, God's going to bless the whole world. Why? Through his loins, through his lineage, and through his line. God's going to bring forth the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way one person can bless everybody is if that one person is connected with Jesus. Aren't you glad that in you, everybody can be blessed if you have Jesus in you? What a blessing. Everyday people he was. Abram was, he was a nobody. Yet God called him Abram. His name meant exalted father when he was fatherless. Amen. I'm glad that God sees you for where he's taking you. And not just for where you are. God could be directing you in a way and you can't, listen, you can't agree with God's direction tonight because you can't see how you qualify for where God's taking you based on your condition right now. Amen. You got to look beyond that. Amen. God's trying to take you somewhere and you're not everything you are going to be yet. But you stay connected to God. He'll make sure you arrive there. Amen. So there was a direct call and a divine covenant. Tonight I want us to look at the diligent commitment of Abram. The diligent commitment of Abram. Would you go down, if you would, to verse number 4. So Abram departed. Now look at this moment. I know this is elementary Christianity. This is elementary teaching in general. But sometimes it's the elementary things that we seem to ignore. Are you listening? You can't go where God's taking you until you first leave where you are. Now the sound of that is elementary. But the practice of that seems to be quite difficult. Because everybody wants to go somewhere with God. But the problem is we want to go somewhere and stay somewhere at the same time. And in 3 verses, God says, I'm sending you somewhere. That was God's call. Abraham didn't know how to get there, and he didn't even know where there was. But what Abraham couldn't do, God was going to do. But there was something that Abraham could do, and although he could not get there on his own, and he could not even figure out where there was, he must understand, in order to get there, I gotta leave here. And I wonder tonight, if there aren't some people of God that have already purchased a ticket to arrive somewhere. without realizing that before you can arrive at the next place, you got to depart the first. There was a faithful departure here. Listen, I don't know a Christian on planet Earth that God's not trying to take somewhere.
That's right.
But I know a slew of them that ain't going nowhere.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm going to step out on a limb without hearing 5 minutes of your story and tell you that God is never the holdup. No, you listen, you can tell him that, and you can tell yourself that, and you can tell your concerned brothers and sisters that, but all three of them are lies. God is never the holdup. And I don't care where you're from or what you've been through or what you're facing in your life. God never intends for a child of God to stay the same place forever. The God that we serve is on the move. And anybody that says he's connected with God who's not moving isn't telling the truth. But you can't, listen, you can't go without leaving. So Abram departed. Well, we spend a lot of time focusing on the parts of scripture that jump out. They seem amazing. They're big time verses. They're the ones we memorize. They're the ones we quote in despair. But ladies and gentlemen, this thing is a process. And if you're going to get where God's taking you next, you got to leave where you are now. So Abram departed. It's what I call faithful departure. Unwavering obedience. He departed. Notice the next statement. As the Lord had what? Spoken unto him. That's obedience. Now, you got to make up your mind you're going to leave. But it ain't just leaving. It's leaving the way God told you to leave. Amen. See, there are a lot of ways to transport yourself. But the only way you can be blessed by God is you take the transportation he told you to take. So Abram didn't just leave. He left the way God told him. The unwavering obedience, the unknown outcome. He left not knowing where he was headed. Amen. I said, we walk by faith and not by sight. I said, he left with an unknown outcome. Listen, listen. I'm saying he booked his departure ticket not knowing where he was going to arrive. He's setting a pattern for us. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not up to God to give you a completed itinerary. Well, God, as soon as you give me the whole package, and by the way, people are like that sometimes. Hey, I'd like to take you out to eat. Before they agree, they want to know where we going, what we riding in, how many people going to be there. They call you up over the house. You had a function. Who's coming? Are you coming or not? Now, at some point, you gotta go because of who asked you. Not go because of all of the factors or who's going to be there. Abraham wasn't worried about where Canaan was, who was going with him, and what he was going to do when he got there. Abram had unwavering obedience. Abram had a known outcome. Abram had an unthinkable oldness about him. He was 75 years old. This is the time you should be settling down, retiring, and kind of ending your life. And yet God is leading him to a new beginning in the latter part of his life. Abram, why did you engage this unwavering obedience, this unknown outcome during your unthinkable oldness? I'll tell you, there was an unseen operative at the helm. Abram said, I'll obey him for one reason, because he said so. Now listen, listen. The struggle with believers is we like to pick up at the parts of heroes of the faith lives where they're successful. You hear me? Everybody trying to be a Job. When he comes out, the end was better than his beginning. But who wants to be the Job at the beginning? Upright, fear God, hated evil. Everybody wants to be the Job. I'm going through trials. I feel like Job. Be careful. You can't be Job through trials if you're not Job with integrity. You can't pick the parts of Job. And everybody wants to get in on somebody at the triumph time. But who wants to join the testing? I'm taking you somewhere. But I can't take you where I'm going until you leave where you are. Faithful departure. Notice, secondly, full detachment. You leaving? Yep. You leaving the early Chaldees? Yep. All right, you're going. Who are you taking with you? Well, his loyal partner's going to go, Sarai. She's his wife. Amen. That'd be a good thing, gentlemen. Somebody say amen. Let me make it both ways. It'd be a good thing, sir, if God's taking you somewhere to take your wife with you. It'd be a good thing, ma'am, if God's taking your husband for you to go with him. Amen. So it's going to take. He's going to take his loving partner. And the Bible never tells us that God told Sarai anything. She was in. She was in because he was in. He was in because God was in. She was in with him because he was in with. Somebody help me preach. Boy, I'm having trouble leading my wife. Well, show her you're in with God. And maybe she's not following you because she's not sure who you're following. The inability to lead your wife is an indictment on your love for God. Loving leadership always produces reciprocity. And that's why God never tells her she needs to love you. He tells you need to love her. Tells her she needs to submit to you. And she'll not have problems submitting if you'll lovingly lead her. You don't have to leave that dictatorship to fools and start loving like Jesus loves you. I didn't intend to preach on marriage, but Abram and Sarai just busted into my sermon. And I'm trying to tell you, there's a woman following her husband because there's a husband following his God. Quit whining about your unsubmissive wife. And you start submitting to God. Well, she ain't going to listen. You try listening to God and maybe she'll listen to him. Say amen or I'll preach the whole sermon on it. I get a little bit tired. Amen. Brother Jeff don't want me to preach 15 more minutes on that. But Tennille emailed me and asked me to do it. And so since she asked first, she gets first dibs. I'm just kidding. She didn't email me. She called. No, I'm just kidding. Detachment. He took his loyal partner. He took his loaded possessions. He took his loving people. Look at the verse. I'm not making up anything. Abram departed. Sarah, his wife, verse 5. Lot, his brother's son, is his nephew. His brother had died. He was taking care of him. All their substance, all the souls they had gotten in Haran. You remember they spent some time in Haran, right? Terah died in Haran. That's where they stopped. And after they were in Haran, according to the scripture in verse number 12, they went from Haran to Canaan. While they were in Haran, they accumulated some substance and some souls. I love the language of the King James Bible. Huh? He didn't even say accumulated some slaves. He said accumulated some souls. Amen. See, to the Bible, every person is a soul. Do you realize when he left the Ur of the Chaldees, he had less when he left the Ur of the Chaldees than he did when he left Haran. Don't miss this. But when he left Haran, he took everything he had gained in Haran with him as he headed to Canaan. Every person and every possession. What's the big deal? All or nothing. I am not leaving anything in Haran because I don't intend to come back. We need Christians that will go across the point of no return with God. Amen. I'm in God, but I'm going to leave a stash underneath the proverbial mattress. In case my walk with you doesn't work out, if I come back here, I want to make sure I got some substance and some souls to survive with. Young man, when you surrender to preach, it's got to be all of it in there. You get married in the Lord. Marriage is honorable. You hear me now? Marriage is honorable. Marriage is not just the law of the state. It's an institution of God. When you step into matrimony with a woman, you step into matrimony with a man, you're not just saying, we just want to get married so we can get a license to do what we've been wanting to do or doing anyway. You're saying, I'm stepping in with God. Listen, many people go back on their commitment with God because they left stuff back there. No wonder you're so quick to chase divorce or chase separation. You got goods over there. When I surrendered to preach, it changed everything. No. Don't miss me. It changed everything. What do you mean? It didn't change who I married, just who I married. It changed who I considered dating. Forget about just dating. I'm talking about consider. Some people say, what about her? What about her? What about her? She's cute. Y'all make a great couple. God called me to preach. It ain't about how we match up on eharmony.com. It's how we match up with the will of God. You join a church, put it all in the bucket. You join a ministry, put it all in the bucket. It's so easy to go back. I'm not leaving anything in Haran. My daddy died there. But everything that's alive and everything that I've loaded up is going with me. I gained some servants in Haran. I gained some substance in Haran. And if God gave it to me, it's going where God's taking me. That's why I'm not going to quit. Listen, if I quit on God, I wouldn't survive. You know why? I've put all my eggs in this basket. I don't have a stash anywhere else. Everything I've had, I've given to the Lord. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I'm sinless, but I'm simply telling you, when I decide to serve the Lord, when I surrender to preach, when I surrender to reach young people, when I surrender to raise fatherless young men, when I surrender to getting married, when I surrendered some 6 years ago to Pastor Crossroads Baptist Church, I said, Lord, all my time, my talent, my treasure, my plans, my dreams, it's all in the... Where am I going to go? If I go back, it's like these whose houses have been destroyed in a hurricane, trying to go back and live in them. Now I'm asking you, you say you're committed to God. How much of your stuff are you taking with you on the journey? Whew. Full detachment. His loyal partner, his loaded possessions, his loving people, his friends, his family, his fellow laborers. Notice his fixed direction. When I talk to my OnStar in my car, in order to make the right direction when I leave my house, I have to put in the address to where I'm going. Notice what the Bible said about Abram. He left Haran and went forth to go into the land of Canaan. He had a direction in front of him. See, it's not enough to leave. You got to leave and go the right direction. Come on. See, the only way you can walk in a fixed direction is if you're trying to end up in a final destination. Notice the language of the Bible. And in to go, he left forth to go into. Come on now. I mean, I hate to tell you this, but if you got in the wrong lane, going the wrong direction, don't expect to end up in the right destination. He left to go into. And notice how the verse ends. And into the land of Canaan they came. Direction seals destination. As a parent, I can watch the way my children as babies were moving and predict where they'd end up. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, if you see a child running towards where a table is, you're going to run out and grab the child because you know that eventually running that direction, their head's going to hit that destination. Now listen to me. When you come to church and hear the pastor or your parents or a loving Christian say, stop, man, you're going to end up there. Stop saying I'm not going to end up there, because smart people can see often about you what you can't see about yourself. Your active direction is going to result in your arrived destination. So if you're a Christian and you're in the wrong lane, if you don't get out the wrong lane, you're going to end up at the wrong place. Wrong lane equals wrong location. He left headed toward Canaan and he arrived in Canaan. I hear people say all the time, in 10 years I'd like to be, and I say to you, in 10 years if you'd like to be, then tell me what you're going to be doing in 10 days. Because days are what turn into years. You don't walk through a puff of blue smoke and end up a pastor, end up a great Christian, end up a great husband. You end up arriving at the place you were directed to. Say amen. Forward drive. I'm almost done for tonight, I think. Forward drive. Into Canaan they went. And he's still passing through as he's going. The land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Morah. So he's still moving. Into Canaan he enters. But this final destination did not mean he doesn't have to stay in forward drive. You know, too many Christians plateau. When God brings you to a church, you think that's where you belong? Absolutely. You think that you ought to stay in church? Absolutely. But just because you're where God wants you to stay does not mean you can take it out of drive. He's arrived at Canaan. But even after he got there, the Bible says he's moving through the plain of Sychem unto the plain of Morah. This is active obedience, ladies and gentlemen. This is commitment 101. This is what every Christian must do to please God. Departure, detachment, direction, destination, drive. I mean, this is real Christianity. And if you say, okay, Pastor, I'm in. Departure, detachment, direction, destination, drive. I'm in on all of it. What do I get for a reward? Difficulty. And the Canaanite was there. Now, this is where Christian people go, huh? What you mean, tell me, I departed because you said so. I detached myself from everything I departed from. I moved in the direction you led me so that I could arrive at the destination you had for me. And even after I arrived at the destination, I stayed busy driving in that destination. Surely there's a fanfare of recipients. Shouldn't there have been a band of people in Canaan going, here he comes, the great patriarch Abram, through which all the family, shouldn't God have arrived, had Abram arrive with a great feast, a great band, a great orchestra? Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, in him shall all, woo! Nope. There were people in his space. I'd go on to the next part, but it's too good for me to rush. Jeff took up too much of my time. Couldn't get to the rest of my points. Somewhere along the Christian life, you're going to be cruising along in obedience with God. And you're going to run into difficulty. Somebody that's in your space. God, I obeyed you. I followed you. And when I arrived at this house that you led me to, somebody was already living in it. I arrived at this call that you told me to hear. And I followed you every step of the way. And when I got to the precipice of entering into what you had for me, somebody was blocking me. And here's what the average Christian goes. Well, if somebody already here, I ain't staying here. Aren't you glad that Abram didn't leave Canaan because there were Canaanites there? Now, some of you are going to go home tonight. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to identify the Canaanites in your life. The visible obstacles and opposition that stand in the way of what you know God's leading you to. And here's what I want you to do. When you're tempted to go in reverse because Canaanites are in your space, ask yourself, who called you in the first place? And by the way, if you plan to be a Christian for any length of time, plan to be called to places where Canaanites dwell. And if every time the road's not clear, the space is not vacant, and the path is not easy, you retreat and go the opposite direction. Don't plan on being a Christian that God uses greatly, because God not only calls us to places, he also tells us to drive out people that are in those places. And quitters don't ever expect, listen, I talk to Christians every day who have walked into Canaan, seen what it looked like, and left because they had to work to stay there. And their stories are forgotten. Wherever God's leading you tonight, don't run from a fight. Don't tremble at work. Don't retreat because, well, it's just not, I mean, this ride for God was good. And then all of a sudden I ran on opposition. And it's like, God, you brought me here for all of this. I drove all the way to this restaurant to find out they got an hour wait. Could I tell you something? Waiting on the Lord is a whole lot better than getting a seat at a table where God's not. Amen. Take your pager. Go sit on a bench somewhere. Rejoice in the Lord. And wait until he calls your number. Because he was not mistaken when he led you there. Amen. Next week, we're going to find out what God said to Abram, because he knew he was facing difficulties. And if you'd stay with God long enough, you'd find out he knows what you're facing. Amen. And he's going to meet your opposition with confirmation. And if you leave before you get it, you're going to miss out on some of the greatest parts of an awesome God. Our Father, thank you. I can't count the times in my life where I know you've led. You've spoken so clearly, so obviously, so directly. And yet we get to those spots where you've led and it's like, what are they doing here? What is that doing here? How can I be in your will and facing these Canaanites? And I'm reminded, you knew they were there when you led me. Help me to stay committed, even in the face of difficulty. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.